One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
For thousands of years, human beings have wondered about entering the afterlife. Do we climb a golden staircase or walk towards a light? Is it a vast, expansive paradise or just an endless, meaningless void? Turns out it's none of those things. It's just me, waiting with my clipboard, ready to collect three questions for God. This is God Only Knows, a brand new podcast that kills its guests before they even get to say a word. Only to meet them as they step out of the eternal elevator and submit their three questions to God, whoever or whatever he, she or it may be to them. Joining me straight out of the eternal elevator is Samantha Baines. Hello, Samantha.
Hi.
Now, before you can submit your questions to God, we need to fill out a bit of a heavenly profile. So I just need a few details. Your full name?
Samantha Louise Baines.
And your occupation?
Author, actress, comedian, radio presenter.
Oh.
Have I gone off the form?
No, that's fine. No, it's good. It's nice to have many. And any notable achievements?
Well, I was thinking about this and I have actually saved someone's life.
No.
Which I feel like God would want to know, right? That would help.
I mean, I want to know, let alone God.
It was recently because I have a hearing aid and hearing loss, and I talk about, and I'm an ambassador for Action on Hearing Loss in the British Tinnitus Association. Mm. So I talk about my tinnitus and hearing loss openly and like signs and symptoms and encourage people to go for tests.
Yeah.
So I was talking about it on my Instagram, and one of my followers had a pulsing in her ear, and she thought that maybe was tinnitus because I was talking about the fact that I have different types. It's not just a high-pitched beep or ringing noise. So she went to have a hearing test and it was, her hearing was fine, but they were worried about this pulsing noise. So they sent her to a neurologist and she had an issue in her brain. It's called a fistula, I think, which is often goes unnoticed and is only noticed when you have a stroke or die. So she had brain surgery to have it removed and now she's fine. And she messaged me on Instagram to say, you may have saved my life.
No one else needs to answer the notable question anymore. Notable achievements are done for this podcast. You have won the notable achievements
round. Through Instagram as well.
I know, right? Who says social media causes harm? You've literally saved a life. And you were in The Crown?
Yes. Period drama, massive.
I
did loads of period dramas for a while, but now I've got my nose pierced and some tattoos, so I don't know if they'll me back.
No.
But yeah, it was super fun.
How are you feeling about this? Do you think about death lots?
Well, I don't think about death lots, but I have had quite a bit of death in my life.
Okay.
So in the last sort of 3 years, well, in the space of a year, both my grands died within 6 months of each other, and then my dad died.
Wow.
So that sort of forced me to talk about death and think about death. And I did a brilliant podcast called The Grief Cast.
Love that.
With Kerri-Anne Lloyd, talking about my dad's death. And strangely, you know, when you start talking about stuff like this, loads of people get in contact with you about your story and them having a similar story. So I think it is something we need to talk about more. And I think that's why that podcast is brilliant.
Yeah, it is.
And strangely, it is coming up to the 3-year anniversary of my dad's death, like next week. So I've been thinking about it more recently.
Yeah, I think it, people talk about it coming in waves, but actually some of those things, aren't they? Like the anniversaries, birthdays, Christmas, those things that remind you of the loss, they're quite... Yeah, they always pop around, don't they?
Yeah, and you think you're sort of dealing with it and you're thinking about lovely memories with them instead of just crying all the time. And then something like, yeah, their birthday or anniversary will come up. And I saw my dad had a lung disease. So I saw someone the other day walking down the street with an oxygen canister on, which is what my dad had before he died. And I literally just cried. Just in, I think I was in Piccadilly Circus. And it's 3 years on. So I thought I was past random moments of crying in public. But no.
Yeah.
Still into that.
Well, you mentioned the Griefcast. It is an absolutely beautiful podcast. We do death a little bit differently here because we have a spinning wheel of death. So I need to find out what brought you to the eternal elevator. Is that all right?
Wow, I'm excited.
Would you like to know what brought you here? So we're going to spin the spinning wheel of death. So there's some options. You might have fallen off or eaten by.
I hope I don't drown. That would be the worst one.
No, I tend to... I mean, I'll let you into some of the behind the scenes here. We tend not to have anything too real.
Okay,
it would certainly change the podcast. You fell off Mr. Blobby on BBC News 24.
That's incredible.
So much to talk
Why
about.
Why was I on Mr. Blobby?
I mean, that's my question to you. Like, what's the...
Well, he's a very attractive...
He is. Charismatic.
...stroke, character stroke... person in a suit, I think actually it's all coming back to me now. He'd come to see Magic Mike Live, Mr. Okay. Bobby, and he wanted some sexy dancing lessons.
Okay,
so I am currently in Magic Mike Live. Yes, that's why.
Like David Morgan, who was on a couple of weeks
ago.
Yes,
we see each other every day, and he's lovely, and I love him. He saves me from everything. But yes, so I was teaching Mr. Blobby some sexy dance moves.
On BBC News 24?
Yeah, because they asked.
There's not a lot going on in the world. So this every day is a slow news day, right? So you want Blobby on Learning to Magic Mike.
Oh, this isn't slow news. This is like a trending story waiting to happen. So I was straddling Mr. Blobby at the time.
Yeah.
And we were filming on BBC News. They film, you know, around the studios.
Yeah.
So they'd given us a bit more space. So we were filming on a sort of balcony.
Oh, okay.
And I got a bit too excited in straddling Mr. Blobby and sort of...
You're only human.
Yeah, climbed up him to get closer to the googly eyes. So mesmerizing. And then I fell off him and the balcony and fell to my death. And they were actually filming a different news report downstairs.
Oh,
so my death was caught on camera.
Wow.
Yeah,
that is a way to go.
Yeah,
like no one's gonna say, you know, it's not a story.
Well, exactly,
right?
I always wanted my death to be in the news.
Literally twice.
Yeah, and you know that BAFTA moment or those award ceremonies when they have like the people who passed away.
Yeah,
like that was always a dream. So now they can show the clip of me falling to my death in the background.
You're kind of your black background, black and white image is straddling Mr. Blobby with your name underneath.
Yeah, with romantic like music.
Like I said, we do death a bit differently here, so it's a strong start.
I bet God's really pleased with me.
Let's get into your questions. What's your first question for God?
My first question is, what is the meaning of life?
Okay, so you've gone big. You've gone big with the first one.
I was worried that like everyone had asked this question because to me this is like the most straightforward question. Let's sort it all out.
Okay.
What's the point of it all?
When you do this, when you think about who God is, what are you imagining?
I'm not sure. So I was a lot like David Morgan. I was brought up Catholic and my family are Irish. So in that tradition, God is a white man. But actually, now I don't follow the Catholic religion. So I more see God as like a genderless floating cloud thing with consciousness.
Okay, sort of more of a kind of a presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also I wouldn't say, if someone said to me, do you believe in God? I wouldn't say yes and I wouldn't say no.
Okay.
So I definitely believe in something else.
Yeah.
I believe that there's got to be meaning to this. Otherwise, whoa. But I wouldn't say that there's one, you know, it's just an extension of the patriarchy, isn't it? I don't think there's one man in control of everything we do, because that would be so upsetting to my life. And it means that we women will never get anywhere. But yeah, I think there must be something else, but not necessarily like one thing controlling everything we do. It's like, you know, when you have, like, weirdly, like last night I was on Instagram and
people, saving lives,
saving
one at a time.
Lives. Yep. No one was liking one of my pictures, and I was like, oh, it's a really good picture, and I was like upset about it. Mm. And then it's like, you know, when you take a step back and you realize that is the most ridiculous worry in the world. That no one is liking a photo on my Instagram, when, you know, you take a step back and you realize that there's so many other things to worry about.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we kept taking a step back, you know, that's what to me, whatever this God thing is, has the like ultimate step back.
Yeah. So it's more about perspective.
Yeah.
Because that's interesting, because I guess what you're doing whenever, because we all do this, look, you know, everyone is who's on, in any way connected to anything. You put something up, or you ask a question, or you do something, or you put out a podcast and you go, I really hope people engage with it. I hope they like it. I hope they listen. I guess there is a challenge when that becomes your meaning. Like, I'm only worth something if other people acknowledge it or kind of respond to it. So I guess by stepping back from that, that might be about a greater meaning.
Yeah. So I feel like this God entity must have a picture of a greater meaning.
Mm. I looked up some of the philosophy of the meaning of life. Do you want to hear some thoughts?
Yes, please.
So obviously 42 is the most famous Hitchhiker's Guide.
What do we think that is? Because it was a super calculation from the supercomputer.
Yeah. And the idea from memory is that the idea was that it's to point out you're asking the wrong question.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There can't be an answer to that question. So even the greatest computer in the world could only come up with an answer. And actually that question might not have an answer.
But there's loads of like fan theories, aren't there, about what 42 actually means. Mm. Maybe it's age 42. That's what I've always thought. So you should just die.
At 42.
Be killed off.
Some people believe it's to realise one's potential and ideals. To achieve biological perfection.
Oh, wow. That's a bit like...
Maybe that's what you were attempting to do with Blobby.
Achieve biological perfection. That's a little bit like cloning and like altering. Right. That's too, I don't like that. That's scary.
To seek wisdom and knowledge, to do good, to do the right thing, to love, to feel, to enjoy the act of living, to have power, to be better. Some people say life has no meaning.
That's so sad.
It
though,
is, isn't
it?
I think that is. I can't get on board with that one.
No meaning.
Yeah. There's something just like no matter what you believe in, like, it can't be that.
That's so sad.
I want to read one more to you, which I really liked, which is from Monty Python's Meaning of Life. And right at the end, it says, well, it's nothing very special. Try to be nice to people. Avoid eating fat. Read a good book every now and then. Get some walking in. And try to live together in peace and harmony with people of all creeds and nations.
That's nice.
It's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah. What was the second one about being fat?
Avoid eating fat.
Eating fat?
Yeah.
Oh, no, but that's the... It's tasty.
I know. Even when you get a good one, you're going to disagree with something, aren't you? You can't be. You can't. No one's going to absolutely nail
that's
it.
That's such a weird, like, nutritional moment.
I know.
In
it
the
was,
rest
wasn't
of
it?
The,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Lovely.
It feels like on that moment, someone just wrote something. It's like someone was on, you know, when your mate's on a fad diet, it's all they can talk about. It's like at that point, Cleese or someone was just like, guys, don't forget the fat thing. I'm really into not eating fat thing this week.
Okay, well, put it
in. It's in. What if it turned out the meaning of life wasn't something that you had been part of or believed in or had any part in?
I'd still be interested. Mm. I'd feel annoyed. I'd want to redo it. Because, you know, maybe reincarnation is an option. I don't know. I'd want to have another go if I missed it. It's like a computer game.
like a reboot.
Yeah. No, I think I'd still want to know. Mm. I like facts.
Okay. So you go to God and you say, what's the meaning of life? God gives you the answer. And then at that point, I guess there's either a sense of I'm satisfied with that or maybe you ask for another chance.
I think I'd never be satisfied with whatever it was.
Oh, really?
But I'd be interested to know, you know, what they thought. And then, yeah, if it was niggling at me that I'd completely missed out on it, I'd be like, can I have another go?
So your second question.
Are there aliens and what are they like?
Oh, now you've written a book.
Yes, about aliens.
About aliens.
about a little girl with a hearing aid whose hearing aid translates alien languages, and she discovers that when she finds an alien under her bed.
Ah.
And then she joins an intergalactic agency with her gran, and they have to protect the Earth from aliens. So in,
I mean, I smell a franchise. I mean, I immediately think there's not just one book coming here, is there? I mean, I've got it already.
I mean, maybe there's another one in the pipeline. But yeah, so I've always been so interested with space and science and astronauts and going to space.
Mm.
I think I'd be rubbish at being an astronaut.
Oh, really?
Which is sad. Yeah, it's really difficult. And also during astronaut training, you have to go underwater. And because it mimics how it feels to be weightless, and I hate being underwater.
Okay, yeah, that's not for you.
So it's not for me. But I'm really interested in it. And so my children's book is just me kind of coming up with crazy ideas for weird aliens. Like, there's a planet, Autumn, which has squirrels with one eye living on it who always wear a light.
One big eye?
Just one big eye, yeah. Okay. And they always wear a scarf and a light jacket just in case. So I've just had fun with coming up with loads of planets. But I think, like, Brian Cox always talks about, he has all the facts and figures, but the fact that our planet can sustain life in this huge galaxy, and we haven't discovered any other planets that can do that, and that we have evolved into intelligent human being, or we think intelligent human beings that are, like, you know, inventing new technologies. And I think that the chances of there being nothing else like us in this huge universe that is constantly expanding.
Mm.
And, you know, our galaxy, the Milky Way, like, we're just on one arm of our galaxy, and our whole galaxy is the Milky Way. And then there's so many other galaxies. Mm-hmm. Like, it's huge. If you think about it, it makes you feel tiny and insignificant. Mm. And it's kind of horrible to think about sometimes. There must be another planet somewhere that can sustain some sort of other form of life.
And this is a really, the thing I didn't know about this is that this goes all the way back to, like, the 16th century. Like, people back then suddenly went, well, if our planet is like this, then there must be more. It's like, it's always been, it's sort of such a long, because I think we have this idea that's kind of, the idea of aliens came around with science fiction, but that isn't true. It's like hundreds of years old, the idea that there must be something else out there.
Well, I think it's also that thing when you're searching for meaning, isn't it?
Yes.
You're thinking, is there anyone else like us?
Yes.
Have we evolved into the best thing, or is there something better than us?
Or that idea that there can only be us. That's what makes us special in an infinitesimal solar system. We're the special ones.
Yeah.
There's something
or
about that.
We're lonely.
Yeah.
Because it's only us in this huge universe.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do?
Have you ever had a kind of an alien experience? That isn't what kind of started this, is it? There wasn't a blinding light.
I was abducted.
Okay,
no, I wasn't.
Good.
No,
oh, disappointing.
I've never had an alien experience, but I was always really interested in those, you know, like, UFO stories and crop circles and, like, when I was younger. And I always watched all those programs, you know, about, like, conspiracies.
Or, like, unsolved mysteries and all of that. Yeah,
I always loved that. And, you know, some people, you know, still believe that the Earth is flat and that the moon landing never happened. And I find all of that really, I don't believe those things, but I find all of that really interesting. Mm. And so, yeah, I'd just like to know, I think there must be something else out there.
Mm.
But why haven't they found us? So, or maybe they have, or maybe they're at a different level of their evolution and they haven't, you know, worked out the technology to find us. So I think that would just be really interesting. So I'd like to hear about that.
Because Hawking said, didn't he? He said years ago now that we actually probably don't want to know. Because actually, if there are other species out there, they could end up doing to us what we did to a lot of the world, which is just sort of appearing and colonizing and not making it work out very well.
And we've made so many, like, breeds of animals extinct and species extinct. And
like the idea that another race of kind of intergalactic species could do that to us.
Or take us over and rule us.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, you see, I'd be dead, so I wouldn't officially physically... I am dead, sorry.
Yes.
So I'm not officially, like, physically on Earth anymore.
True.
So I'm fine with finding out now.
You're no longer on Earth. Yeah. You're happy to know.
I'm not going to be conquered.
So in your book,
I wasn't conquered by Mr. Blobby, and I'm not going to be conquered by an alien.
That was the balcony got you. The book you've written then, so you talked about getting to invent a whole bunch of different aliens. Was there a kind of inspiration for that, or did you just allow your kind of mind to go wild?
I sort of went wild. Okay. And that's what's amazing about writing for kids is they just go with you on this journey, and you can come up with, you know, sometimes I try to sort of satirize real life, and actually, you know, it didn't go in the book, but I wrote a planet Tar because I hate smoking. So about planet Tar, with these aliens that have lungs on the outside of their bodies, and then they just wade through tar all day.
That was your Monty Python moment. You got your bit in. It's like, do the non-fat and the smoking thing. Come on, lads, get it in there.
And that didn't make it into the children's book. But yeah, I feel like when I was trying to do something with it, it didn't work as well as when I just came up with just crazy ideas, like the Munchers, who are a race of aliens that eat things. So there's like Sock Muncher, Lipstick Muncher, Knicker Muncher. So basically, anytime, you know, you've lost a sock, that was Sock Muncher eating it.
Makes so much
they
sense
find
to
it
me.
Tasty. Yeah. So Sock Muncher's actually nice, but all the other Munchers are like mean, and they just want to eat all of the items.
Okay.
And then they leave planets like covered in ash with nothing left.
Oh, wow.
So the book is all about Harriet trying to stop that from happening on Earth.
No matter how kind of far down that line of conspiracy or theory, or really believe, you don't believe, whatever it is, I think deep down all of us secretly think there's got to be another something out there, right?
There does. I watched that film Arrival.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's really good. So this spaceship comes down on Earth, and then they have to work out how to communicate with these aliens. And they actually, if you look at scientific images of bacteria, which are like... So there's like one long spike vertically, and then it's almost like a hand at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
So lots
yeah.
of little spikes. That's what bacteria looks like under a microscope. That's what the aliens in Arrival look like.
Ooh.
And then they're trying to communicate with these aliens who end up communicating in a very different way. I won't spoil it if you haven't seen it. But, you know, stuff like that is so interesting. I'm like,
I'm way more down for the one-eyed squirrel and the sock muncher. That sounds way more fun to me.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Moving on, let's have your final question, please.
My final question is, what's my biggest sin?
Oh. Now, do you know, what's really interesting is we haven't really covered sin on this podcast at all, considering what it's about, but sin hasn't massively come up. So
sin is a daily thing in my life because I was brought up Catholic. I have an Irish family. So like sins are like drilled into you when you're younger. Also, if you do the Slimming World diet, other diets are available.
Mm.
They call like naughty things that you eat sins.
S-Y-N.
With a Y.
Yeah, S-Y-N.
Just, oh, it's not Catholic, we promise. So it's sins find me wherever I am, and that's how I grew up, of telling like right from wrong. Is it a sin?
But as someone now who doesn't then kind of identify as practicing as a Roman Catholic or practicing in any religion, what role then does the term sin have?
Well, I think, you know, we know that there's good things that you can do in the world, and we know that there's bad things, and when you grow up you realize that there's also some things that are sort of in the middle, a bit blurry around the edges, but we know, you know, things like murder is a bad thing. And that's, you know, one of the Ten Commandments, do not murder. And then we know, like, you know, saving someone's life.
Oh, look what you did there. Brought it right back around to yourself.
I did that one time, guys, remember?
That thing I've already talked about doing. Writing children's books, I also have on my list here of excellent things.
That's a good thing to do. Changing people's lives, one alien at a time. I think there are still consequences to sins because, you know, you like get arrested if you do something bad, or you feel guilt and a lot of time you want like forgiveness if you feel that you've done something bad. You know, if you've like hurt a friend's feelings, whether intentionally or unintentionally, you know, you always feel like you then want to go and talk it through with that friend and make sure they're okay and sort of get their forgiveness for what you did and move on from it. So I think that that is a sort of an example of sins in everyday life.
So what would you not want God to point out or say were your worst ones?
I don't know, Rick. I guess when you go through your life, we all do bad stuff or stupid things or things that you regret. And I try not to focus on those things. But then obviously deep down, I still have this like Catholic guilt mentality, which is why I thought of this question. Also, I was discussing this with David Morgan about this podcast. And his questions were all like really like almost philosophical about like the meaning of everything and what, you know, the intricacies. And initially when I thought of my three questions, they were all very focused on me. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm a very selfish human being. So I actually even edited my questions for this podcast.
Oh, wow.
So they weren't all about me. So is that a sin? Because I'm trying to appear more selfless than I actually am. Because really, I just wanted to be like, I'm great, aren't I, God?
I think we're all trying to appear more selfless than we really are. That's all right. I think everyone in this room would be guilty of that one.
Yeah, so I don't know what I'd want him. I guess I'd want him, she, it, they, to not pick something that I've forgotten about.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that I haven't dismissed my biggest sin or forgotten about it and it not had an impact on my life, that I just committed this awful sin and then just carried on and didn't do anything about it.
So you want it to be something you still sort of semi-carry?
Yeah, I guess. Or that I've like worked to, you know, improve upon.
Yeah. You don't want it to be something you didn't realise was a problem in the first place?
Yeah. Like, so I'd like them to say it was something that I was like aware of that was bad, and then because I knew about it for my whole life, that I've taken steps to almost like readdress the balance.
Are there things in your life or in your character that you can sort of point to that you've gone, I recognise that was something that wasn't good about me, and I've tried to do that?
Yes. Yeah, I think when I was younger, I was so mean to my sister when I was younger. I have a little sister, she's 4 years younger than me. I was so horrible. I was the first child, like, in the whole family, so I got all the attention. Again, maybe links to what I do now. And she came along and everyone was like cooing over this really cute baby. Mm. And I hated her. And I did awful things when I was younger. Like I pushed her off the top bunk bed.
No.
Quite a big sin.
I mean, this explains the fall off the balcony. I mean, if there is a karma, you've just hit it.
Maybe that'll balance things out. But she was fine. She was not injured in any way. And actually, I think I helped her resilience. At the time, I was six. So, and also, I wanted my mum to realise how awful she was. So when she was like in nappies, I sat her in the middle of my mum's favourite carpet, which we called the Chinese carpet because it had a Chinese design on it. But like we always had to take our shoes off, like it was a really expensive carpet. So I sat my sister in the middle of it and I covered it with cream. I went in the bathroom, got like eczema cream, covered the carpet in cream and then like stuck like Q-tips. What do we call them in the
UK?
Oh,
like cotton buds.
Cotton buds. Yeah. I was suddenly went American. Yeah. Cotton buds in it. And then I also got like some pills out of the cupboard and like scattered them around and like put, and then I put my sister's hand, like I was a very intelligent 6 year old, put my sister's hand like in the cream so it looked like she'd smeared it.
Wow.
And then like gave her some pills in her hand just to hold. So it looked like she'd scattered them. Also, this, you're both covering your mouths like you're appalled at me. You asked me what my sins were.
Carry on. I mean, I'm...
And even the producer is like, oh my God.
Honestly, for the first time in the whole series, I wish you could see producer Joel and what he's doing right now next to us. It's remarkable, his face.
You both look really shocked.
I love it.
I have spoken about this publicly before, so it's fine. Mm. So my sister will be fine with it. But so I did all of this. And what I didn't realise, obviously, is I had to climb on the toilet to get to this cupboard to get everything out, which obviously my sister, who was like crawling and unable to stand, wouldn't have been able to do. Anyway, so I spread all this stuff, sat her in the middle of the carpet so that my mum would be like, oh my God, she's ruined my favourite carpet. I hate her. I'm going to send her away. That was the idea. So then I hid in my room and waited for my mum to find her, and she didn't for like 5 minutes and I was bored. So I shouted, Mom, look what Emily's done. And then my mum came up, but she was more worried because my sister was basically munching on one of the pills that I'd given her. And then they were really worried that I'd like poisoned her, but it was just herbal, so it's fine. So again, I helped her be more robust.
Yeah, you worked on her kind of digestive and system, and you've helped her. It was almost an inoculation.
And actually, I don't remember the carpet after that, so I don't know if they had to get rid of the carpet or still had it. And I don't really remember getting into that much trouble. I must have at the time.
Yeah.
Because they knew it was me.
Yeah.
But I think that they were more about, like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
So anyway, I knew how horrible to my sister I was when I was younger. So I have made a conscious effort when I'm older to, like, and we're really good friends now and we, like, do stuff together and get on well. So, like, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. So if there was something...
Am I still in heaven?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not for long. There's a... Thankfully, I never get to choose. That's what we always say. That's the beauty of it. No one gets to choose.
Okay.
You're here. You ask God the question. Is there something you think that... Because I always... For me, one of the things I love about this podcast is that there's often something that people go, oh, man, I really hope God wouldn't answer that. Is there a specific thing, other than just something you haven't thought about, that God could say that you'd be like, oh, I'm gutted?
That my biggest sin was. Yeah, I'm sure there's several. I think probably my striving to have a positive effect on people's lives, which is like my main thing that I do. Mm. If he flipped that, you know, and said that that was a sin because I was too concerned with me or something in that, then I would be gutted because that's what I always try and do.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I'd ask for another go again.
Another reboot.
Has anyone done this before? I want another go.
Yeah, no one's asked for this many reboots, but I like it. It's a new feature. We're going to make at the end of every show is the reboot.
I'm very competitive and goal-orientated.
You'll be back on series 2. 3 more questions, even better. I've already won the notable achievement round. I'm coming back for question of the series.
Yeah.
Sam, it has been really lovely having you on the podcast. Thank you so much. Time's up, but it's almost time to send you back to Land of Living. But I need to ask you one more question. Is there anything you think God would want to ask you?
Oh, my God. I think he'd want to ask for a free copy of my book. Signed.
Can he have one?
No.
Okay.
You don't get many author copies. He needs to buy one. He's got... You know, he again, they have a lot of access to money. So
okay,
he can just sort of magic one up.
It's also saved me asking my next question as well, actually, so that's good.
I will sign it.
That is it for this episode. The good news is Mr. Blobby's actually a fully trained member of St. John Ambulance. So he came down, performed CPR in his terrifying way, and the news was able to carry on and you were brought back to life.
And now we're together.
Yeah, obviously. Oh. Yeah. And that really is heaven.
Thanks.
Listen, thank you again. I'll be back next time to kill off another guest and find out what they want to know on God Only Knows.
Are you ready for truly hydrated skin? Meet Hyaluronic Body Serum, a breakthrough in body care from Osea. It's clinically proven to instantly increase hydration by 161%. Their lightweight, fast-absorbing serum delivers 24 hours of nonstop hydration for silky, smooth skin without the sticky afterfeel.
Osea's latest innovation combines the magic of their best-selling hyaluronic C serum with a new formula that's good for the whole body and 5 types of hyaluronic acid to target every layer of the skin. Osea is a woman-founded, women-led brand that's been crafting seaweed-powered products for nearly 30 years. The best part? Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.